I'm sorry, but mommy's with the maggots now.
This is Evil Dead Rise.
About was how much I wanted to cut you all open and climb inside your bodies so that we could stay one happy family.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother,
"What is this, Danny?"
"I found it."
"What will I be?"
"Gandalf."
"Will I be pretty?"
"Estrada."
"Will I be rich?"
"Enough."
Here's what she said to me.
"Open up now."
"You don't look so good, Mom."
"Nothing. Big ol' kiss from you won't fix."
"I'm getting us out of here, I promise."
"You'd be a good mom someday, Hannibal."
"Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you know how to lie to kids." "Mom?
Mommy's with the maggots now."
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Bela Lugosi's Undead. I'm AJ.
And I'm Spooky Ryan.
And today we're talking about Evil Dead, which is, frankly, just, it's good to have Evil Dead back in the world.
Yes, yes.
Especially when there was like a moment last year where I was like, are we ever going to see this movie? I know that I aired my conspiracy theory to you at least once,
yes,
where I said, oh god, this movie, they're gonna cancel it and they're gonna write it off, it's gonna get Batgirled out of existence.
Yeah.
And it's made $142 million.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow. I can't, the trailers were so scary, I'm surprised people went to go see it for real.
for real.
There's so many people that are like off the trailers, they were like, no, not going. Like,
yeah, no. So for anybody who is not aware, that I was so lucky and got to attend South by Southwest this year. And I solely wanted to go because Evil Dead Rise was going to premiere at South by Southwest. So I booked my flight, super excited, ready to get there for a Saturday night Evil Dead Rise screening. And what happens? It airs on a Thursday, which is the day I left. So I flew away. I got on a plane and flew away from Austin, Texas, knowing that I was mere hours away from the reason I had gone. I had an amazing time and I saw so many good movies, but part of me is still so sad that I was not there for the Evil Dead Rise screening at the at the Paramount, which is, when I tell you, like, seeing a movie at the Paramount in that environment is like next to heaven for me. Like, it is seeing like John Wick and Dungeons and Dragons was fun, but I would have loved to have seen this movie there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, Evil Dead Rise, we got it. You know, it was supposed to go to HBO Max. It didn't go to HBO Max, which is incredible. Because
thank God.
Yeah, movie thank God. Clearly should have always been on the big screen.
Oh, and, yeah, this is a big screen movie.
And my God, Lee Cronin, what a dude. Like, this movie is fucking scary. So let's go ahead and jump into the 90-second plot description, because we have so much to talk about this movie that I'm very pumped.
Yes, absolutely. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Set, go.
All right, so at a cabin in the woods, there's three people who are hanging out, having a good old time, except one of them, it turns out, is possessed. And we're not sure how she got possessed, but we know she is possessed. She murders her cousin and then kills her boyfriend. And boom, drops the opening title card, Evil Dead Rise, super fucking scary. Then we get a little card one day earlier. And in LA, a woman is frustrated with her job, something maybe amiss, she might be pregnant, and she goes to see her sister. So when she goes to see her sister, it turns out that Beth, who is the guitar tech, sees her sister Ellie, who has apparently been living alone without her husband. Her husband left them and left the family with her three kids, Danny, Bridget, and Cassie. So Beth begins to try to help out around the house. Ellie gets possessed by the Necronomicon. And then all of a sudden, the Deadites are here in this high rise trying to kill this family, with Ellie as the tormentor and the kids and Beth trying to fight back to survive.
And that's pretty good.
And I don't want to give away a lot of things, but that's the basic premise of the movie.
Yeah, he killed it under 90.
So
we're going to avoid spoilers in this movie.
We're going to try to avoid some spoilers, but I think we're going to have a point where I'm just going to say spoiler off the
list.
We do have to dive into some of the specifics, especially around the awards that we're going to be giving out, because some of those scares are so freaky that we have to talk about them in depth.
Whew.
So anybody who's a fan of Evil Dead knows it's kind of been a rocky, tumultuous franchise at all times. There's never really been a time in this franchise where things have been like super chill and everybody's okay.
Yeah.
Like in the 80s, you know, you have Sam Raimi creates the idea with Bruce Campbell. They make their little movie. It becomes something of an international sensation, but a different distributor picks it up, so they don't have the rights to the first movie. So they semi-remake it as Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn. It then gets picked up for another distributor for the third movie, and again, they don't have all the rights. So they semi-remake it at the beginning, and boom, we now have Ash in Army of Darkness.
Which is great, but it's also insane. Like
all of that happens over about 10 years.
Right.
And then the franchise goes dormant for two decades. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden in 2013, boom, we have our first Evil Dead movie in years. Danny Alvarez takes over with the Evil Dead remake in 2013. And it is one of the goriest, most like upsetting films you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And we just talked about Terrifier 2. And Evil Dead is like definitely the 2013 Danny Alvarez one is in that sphere of sheer horror.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get Bruce Campbell to come back for a television show, Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Great show.
We love that show.
Yeah.
And it's fun, but it's also not...
No.
It's scary. Different. It's different. It's more comedic, less scary.
Right.
There's a lot of really cool things going on in that show.
Mm-hmm.
But another 10 years goes by after the Fede Alvarez movie. We can't get another movie off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then, bang, Lee Cronin's Evil Dead Rise arrives. So it's been like a weird time to be an Evil Dead fan.
Yeah.
Especially when like during 2022, they're like, we're sending it to HBO Max. And they're like, never mind, we're pulling it off the schedule. And also we're ripping out the Halloween Horror Nights house. I mean, they definitely didn't rip out a Halloween Horror Nights house. They definitely did.
Yeah.
It's like to the point where when I went to do my behind the scenes tour last year at HHN Orlando, they were being trained already on Evil Dead Rise before the movie got pulled, and then they had to pull the house from the event. So fingers crossed.
Did they say that?
They did.
Did they? Wow.
They said it in so many words. They couldn't give specifics, but they knew that everybody knew. And they let somebody else say the title of the movie.
Yes.
So, but hopefully.
Take a guess?
Yeah. But hopefully that means that we'll see it again in the future. We've seen Ash vs. Evil Dead at HHN. Ryan and I have done Evil Dead houses. Yes. So, yeah, we're a big fan of the franchise. Mm-hmm. What were you kind of expecting coming into Evil Dead Rise?
I knew it was going to be scary because of the trailers that I'd seen, right? The red band trailer was intense.
Like one of the best red band trailers has ever been made.
Oh my god, it got me so pumped. But as soon as I saw that, I was like, I can't fucking wait to see that movie. Like, really, really, it was so good because it made you scared. It gave you the vibe of the movie, but it didn't ruin it at all.
It really was pretty light on details.
Yeah.
Considering that most of the trailer is in the first 30 minutes of the movie, maybe 45 minutes of the movie, it mm-hmm. really is not that much.
No.
Mm-mm. And so you have this crazy trailer come out, and I think that we were all like excited for it, which makes it even more astounding that I think it still surpassed most people's expectations.
Yeah. Yes.
Because, I mean, I just was not expecting it to be so clearly well made mm-hmm. and so interestingly shot. And I think that's, I'm still trying to get my head around the people who don't like it. I understand on some level why some of the people are not happy with it.
My friend is, let's talk about it. Yeah, my friend is a huge Evil Dead fan. And he's like, this is not an Evil Dead movie. And so I get that, kind of, right? There's no Bruce Campbell. It's not, it doesn't have this comedy. It doesn't have this like weirdness, this quirkiness that Evil mm-hmm. Dead has. It is a straight up, like, it feels like one of those movies where they ripped and replaced, and it didn't need the franchise tag Evil Dead. It could have been a totally new. So I get that completely. But I mm-hmm. also don't think it needs to be Bruce Campbell, like Evil Dead. Like
so that's what I was going to bring up is you and I would say we're upper tier Ash versus Evil Dead fans.
Yeah.
There's a reason it only made three seasons and got canceled.
Right.
Like people just weren't enjoying it. People weren't watching it.
Yeah.
It wasn't scary.
Mm-mm.
I think that the enduring legacy of Evil Dead kind of comes down to the Bruce Campbell of it all and Sam Raimi being such a weird director anyway.
Yeah.
Having the perfect weird director with arguably the best physical slapstick comic of the last like 30 years and 40 years of movies is such a special brand. I understand how it created its own style of horror comedy.
Yeah.
But it's not something that can really be replicated without it feeling like a ripoff.
Yeah.
And so I would prefer a director take ideas of the franchise. And again, we've had this discussion before. In fact, mm-hmm. we just posted our long, long awaited review of Scream 2022.
Yes.
We would rather have a movie take the framework of an existing franchise and try to do something different with it.
Right.
Than simply repeat what we've seen come before. Mm-hmm. At a worse level, because you're not going to find another Bruce Campbell. It's not going to happen. No. Like, so if you're not going to find that, then you're already working at a disadvantage, even if you try to mirror the same horror comedy, in my opinion. Right.
No, I hear you. And I think a good, what I felt like my friend felt was The Stranger's second movie, right? Where I was like, this didn't need to be a Stranger's movie. It could have been a B-horror movie that you wanted to make money off of, and therefore you called it The Strangers. But I don't think the lay person is like, Evil Dead, I love that movie, right? Like,
yes, I would agree with that. I think that even though it has now become something of a, I mean, there's a reason why it takes 10 years for them to make a movie. And why they struggle to keep a television show on the air,
right?
They always have had these problems. The appeal is not huge outside of the core audience.
Right. And so I think like this movie taking elements of the Evil Dead franchise and creating a new movie with Deadites and all of these sort of things, I think is fine. I was okay with it. But I want to bring up my friend because he went in, and he's a person that doesn't watch trailers. So he went in blind.
That's a good way to have seen this movie, frankly.
Yeah. And so he went in blind, so he had no idea what he's getting into, and he went to go see an Evil Dead movie. And this truly wasn't like an Evil Dead movie, right?
Yeah, the Bruce Campbell of it all is tough too, because I do get the vibe. I do get why people want to see more Bruce Campbell. I think they also forget that Bruce Campbell is dang near 70 years old. Yeah. So I don't know if he can do the thing, do like the front flip, land on his back.
Yeah.
Like he does in Evil Dead 2, where he fights with his own hand.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he is physically up for that level of comedy. He might be.
Yeah.
But is it worth trying to figure that out? Because, and there's also another thing that I hate to bring up as another comp. But I feel like we have seen legacy characters that are for long running, like 30, 40 year running franchises, try to come back and return to a certain role. Maybe somebody with the last name Ford has done it a couple times now.
Sure.
And at a certain point, the returns are rather diminishing, even if it's an iconic character. And I wonder if we're in that point with Bruce Campbell and Ash. I'm not saying that I wouldn't want another Bruce Campbell led Evil Dead movie. I'm saying I don't know if it's going to be the movie we all think it's going to be.
Right. I mean, I could agree with that. Definitely. Yeah. Right.
So one of the other things that's really interesting about this movie, too, is Lee Cronin, the director, was more or less like really affected by COVID as they're trying to make the movie.
Wow.
From what I had understood, a lot of it was supposed to originally shoot in 2020 and it just kept getting pushed and eventually just shot in 2021. They like shot it over the summer.
Wow.
So, and I believe they shot it in Australia.
Mm.
So yeah, they shot it in New Zealand, confirmed. So having, they brought in people who had been cinematographers and production designers on Ash vs. Evil Dead. So it's still got the
core.
It's got the people who made the show and made this world with Sam Raimi. You have Raimi and Campbell serving as producers on the movie.
Nice.
And they're saying this is the direction this needs to go to change what we've been up to. So I think that says a lot that I think people are also ignoring. Another cool thing about this movie is so much of it is practical. The number.
Yes, I loved that.
I've read several times that we're talking like there's like more than 6,000 like liters of blood on set, which is like 1,500 gallons of blood.
Oh my god!
There's only like 7 characters in this movie. That's a lot of blood. Like we're talking like hundreds of people. Worth of blood.
Yeah. So I guess because you have to like redo scenes, maybe.
Maybe, but that's a lot. Remember when we were talking about, I think it was Cabin in the Woods had a lot of blood, and the numbers that I've heard for this movie are higher. Wow. And this took place in an apartment.
In an apartment. That's incredible.
I do also want to give voice to another. Another that I think is a fairly legitimate criticism of the movie, that there are two characters, Danny and Bridget, that you could argue are non-binary characters. And they are kind of brutalized in the film. Yeah. And so,
which ones are those?
So Morgan Davies is Danny. They are a trans actor. They began as a child and they're now male identifying.
Okay.
But at the same time, like, it is rough that bad things happen to their character. Yeah. Same thing with Gabriel Eccles. They're also, I believe, a non-binary actor. And again, some rough things happen to them. Yeah. So I think that there's a legitimate criticism on that front, that of the characters that come into harm's way, that it have to be, at this moment in time, potential non-binary and trans characters, or at bare minimum, you know, on the LGBTQ spectrum. And so that's a reasonable critique that I can see. People being like, oh, it's a little conservative in that front. Now, I do not think the movie is doing it to punish them for being LGBTQ+. But I do hear that concern, especially in this moment.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I can hear that. I think more along the lines of representation more than like they're being brutalized for their. But I could see the critique. That makes
sense. Well, exactly. We're not in a situation where it's like the 1980s where they're going to get hate crimed because of that. Like, it's better that they're in the movie in leading roles than not being in the movie at all.
Right.
And at the same time, I can see why people would have that issue.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Yep.
So we kind of talked roundabout about the general plot. I think we do officially have to dive into spoilers because there's just like so much specifically that we need to address that let's just go ahead and jump into it. So spoiler warning from here on out, we're going to take the bandages off and talk about this whole dang thing. All right. So right off the bat, the first thing that like really threw me off was the drone shot to open the movie where it's clearly the Evil Dead cam going through the woods, and I'm like, oh my god, they can like do this one of these shots really cool now. They can be really long because of drones. Yeah, it's really interesting. And then
it's a fucking drone.
It was actually a drone. That was hilarious.
Yes,
like honest to god, one of the funniest things I've ever seen in a movie.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, I mean that drone scene was really really interesting. So the one piece that I really wish. They like build up that the blades could like fuck your face, like cut your face up, right? I want that movie was so violent. I'm like, no, fuck that person up. Like, I want
to
see,
be fair,
like,
she used it on herself.
Yeah, that is true.
she grabbed it and was like, I'm gonna give it a kiss. It was pretty messed up. I'm not gonna lie.
It was pretty fucked up. But I was like,
she also did decapitate her boyfriend with it.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, that was a sick opening though. I love that opening.
I love the idea of opening in the woods, like we're expecting to, and then immediately subverting it and being like, by the way, we got somewhere else to be. What I also think is interesting about the way they opened it is that even though we know something's gonna happen where other characters are affected by the Book of the Dead, we don't actually see any of our characters involved.
Right.
And so you don't know who is or is not going to make it out by the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Which I think is a very cool touch. We just know that the Deadites are going to escape wherever they're at. That's basically all we know going through.
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, there's a couple things that are really cool about this movie where they take like horror movie slasher tropes that are gonna have like, and you're like, oh, this is gonna happen. Like, you know, like one thing I would think about is when she's holding the knife up and it's like, oh, I'm gonna stab you. And I'm like, okay, the character's gonna come in and rescue him and stop him from stabbing him. And then she fucking stabs him. And I'm like, yo,
you guys crazy violent.
Like, yes, you guys are like diving dead center, right?
So Alyssa Sutherland, who plays Ellie, who is the mom who's the first person to get possessed, and then is, what did you think of the elevator scene where she gets taken over by the Deadites?
I mean, I liked it. I didn't have any problems with it. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I think
what
it was
your thoughts.
I thought it was an interesting take on that kind of idea.
Yeah,
and then to have her like stumble into the house,
yes,
being all messed up,
yeah,
was quite enjoyable. It was quite gross, and it's a really well performed sequence.
Yeah,
especially when she's like cracking open the eggs.
Yes.
So Lee Cronin does something else that I really love that a lot of directors have moved away from doing. I think he maybe overutilizes it a little bit.
Okay.
It's called split diopler effect.
Okay.
Where you have simultaneously the image in the foreground and the image in the background in focus at the same time. Yeah. So it allows for a character to be directly up next to the camera and it looks like they're like right there. And then the characters all the way in the back are also in focus. So you can see everybody's reactions.
Yeah.
Now what that does is it also creates a very fuzzy effect around the character that's in the foreground. So it like almost creates like a weird, in this case, creates almost like a magic ambience around Sutherland as an actress, because not only are we aware that she's already possessed, but now like the world is literally like messy and morphing around her head.
Fascinating. Yeah.
So I think it's a very interesting visual technique to use in this context.
Yeah.
Because absolutely. Throughout the movie, Cronin often puts the he keeps using this effect, and he often puts the deadite infected person in the foreground so that we can see the character in the background react to whatever horrific thing the character is doing to themselves.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really cool. Other filmmakers have used it. Like they're in The Thing, they're in other movies we've covered, but not to this level. And especially with like the lack of lighting in the building and with like the candlelight effects.
Yeah.
It just makes it even better.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then the other thing is the fucking I don't think I've ever seen a character use a cheese grater on someone. Yes. That was fucked up.
So at South by Southwest, if you attended the premiere, they gave out little cheese graters.
No, to everybody. That's so fucked up.
They gave out mini cheese graters and they gave out mama's pasta.
Oh, that's dark.
So dark. So dark. So one of the ways that was really curious about how we were going to get involved in an Evil Dead scenario while living in the city this time was always going to be how would they find a Necronomicon.
Yeah.
And so I think that the way that they ended up doing it with like the building used to be a bank vault.
Yeah.
An earthquake happens. The kid dives down and picks up the book and then brings it back and plays the records that are the readings of the book.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah. First of all, huge shout out to LCD Sound System for being song at the beginning of the movie. Dance Yourself Clean was the song.
Yes.
And then when we play the records, didn't you say that Bruce Campbell's on one of them?
Yeah, he's a descending voice. The dissenting voice is his credit.
So he's got to be one of the people that's like, no, don't open that. It's called the Book of the Dead. Why would you even get this?
Yeah.
So that's awesome that they actually like incorporated him in
Bruce Campbell. And then could it be Ash in those recordings?
It could be, right? It could be because he's a time traveler.
Right.
I also love the idea that there are three books of the dead that's introduced there, which means they just made $145 million on a $15 million budget. So they, 10 times their budget?
Right.
It wouldn't be crazy for them to do an Ash meets the characters from the surviving characters of 2013, Jane Levy, and then the characters who survived this one, right?
Yeah.
Like, would that be an impossible? Probably not.
No. So we've got a.
It's No Way Home for horror fans.
Yeah. Okay. So I loved this Book of the Dead, though, with the teeth.
Yes.
That was so fucking cool.
I thought it was interesting. Again, this is like what I like about this. It's just like slight alterations on the edges of what we've seen that allows them to do whatever they want or be slightly different than what we're used to.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the sad part is that's what people are upset about, right? Is like alterations to the original. It's like, God damn it. Like, I get why my friend is upset, and I wish that we could have more creative freedom with stuff like this.
Well, like, especially because, like, okay, so you have obviously the shots of the mom outside the apartment are also so terrifying when she murders everybody in the hallways.
And you see it through the fucking eye. People. Yeah, through the people. What a fucking cool shot, right?
So what I found funny is that they released the first image pretty early on of her staring through the window, through the like people. Right. And that was already like, I'm sold on this because of how terrifying this looks.
Yes.
Then in the context of the movie, you realize that they CGI'd in the trailer and in the image, they CG'd out the bodies.
Oh,
so if you look at the image now, it's just her staring through. But in the movie, there are bodies all around her.
Yes,
like there's a child smushed on the wall.
Yes,
like that's another thing about this movie.
They killed children.
They broke some big horror rules with that one. They're like, kids, fuck them kids, is what they said, and they said it emphatically.
Yes, over and over again.
Like, they did not have any. I mean, I like that we had a little moment where the kids are like, oh, we're going to go watch the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. And they're like, oh, there's so many sucky movies. And the kid's like, there are no sucky movies.
Yeah. There are.
There are, but that kid doesn't need to know.
Yeah.
And he never will because he died horribly.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and call it right now. That kid, he deserves to be the gone too soon. I don't care. Yes.
You'll give him that award right now, right here, right now.
There's that scene. There's the cheese grater scene. There's
The boiling water.
The boiling water.
Where the mom is like in the boiling water. That is so fucked.
And
like,
she pops out and screams. The mommy's
yes.
The mommy's with the maggot now scene is like so upsetting in the context of the movie. Right. It is like way worse in that context than it was even in the trailer.
Right.
And that is remarkable.
And that's the fucked up thing too about this movie is they attach you to these characters. Right?
Yes.
You're attached to them.
And I think that is ultimately why I love this movie so much is I actually cared about every single character.
Yes.
And everything that happened to all of them. And even though I'm enjoying it for the violence.
Right.
I do not feel ill will towards any of these characters. No. And they're just caught in a bad situation. It's happened to be like, I think that's ultimately why I think this is a good representation of Evil Dead.
Right.
Is because the whole thing about Ash becoming tortured, these are just a bunch of demons that accidentally got released. They weren't supposed to get released here. And then they happened to torture the first people they ran into. And Ash is the only one who survives.
Right.
But he has happened to be there. He's not really a chosen one or anything like that until Ash vs. Evil Dead and Army of Darkness or whatever.
Yeah.
But in the first two movies, he's just a guy that happens to be there that these demons like to torture. Mm-hmm. And I think in this case, Cronin really nailed the whole deal where the demons like to torture the survivors. It's not just about physically killing and breaking these people. It's about mentally destroying them as well.
Right. Absolutely.
And so I think that's where I so resonated with it. It's the whole idea also with the original Evil Dead movies is, you know, Ash Williams might be an insane person from the second movie on.
Yeah.
Like he legitimately might just be a crazy person.
Yeah.
And so we're being told the story by a crazy person. So he may be exaggerating what's happened to him or what is happening. He's an unreliable narrator.
Yeah.
In this case, they're almost removing that unreliable narrator aspect.
Right.
And they're forcing you to live with how messed up and traumatic this experience would be for an actual person.
Right, absolutely. And that's it. The whole thing is so traumatic. And even like it's like she looks at her sister and she's like, don't let take my babies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
the last thing she does as a human is tell her to save her children.
Yeah.
Like tell her sister to save her children. Yeah. What did you think of Lily Sullivan as Beth, the lead actress?
I think she did really, really well. I guess thinking about the movie and as you're doing the plot narrative, the only thing that's like really confusing for me is why is she pregnant? Like, how does that add to the story? And what does it make it? What does that make? What's the purpose of her pregnancy?
I mean, the purpose is that she is also about to become a mother. So how far would a mother go to protect their children? And then to split it with Ellie did everything she could and just she became possessed by a monster. So to have a mother trying to kill her children versus a woman trying to survive so she can become a mother. I think that's really where the dichotomy comes in. I agree that it is relatively one of the weaker parts of the film. I think that she could do it with, I don't think that the Beth character needed to be pregnant to understand the stakes.
Right. That there are children that are going to be killed here.
Right.
But I think if you're right, if they were going to drive home the idea of what would a mother do? Her being pregnant drives that even further home.
Right. Or she has to be the one who gets possessed. Those are the only two ways it can go. Right. Is either she's the one who gets possessed and Ellie is this trying to save. But then I think at a certain point, Ellie would be unable to do anything to her children.
Right.
Because that would be too far.
Right. Yeah. That'd be too close to home. She would have to. Narrative.
You can't have her kill her own children because that's a step too far. Something you would never be able to.
Hurt.
Yeah. Instead, if she is a deadite monster killing children,
yeah,
that is
scary
different.
And fucked up.
Right.
But it's also like fucked up for the victims, but not so fucked up for the survivor.
Like there's, I mean, like one of the iconic scenes in cinema history that has transferred into pop culture is A Sophie's Choice, right? Mm-hmm. Is when a mother had to choose which child gets sent to a gas chamber in a Nazi movie.
Jesus Christ.
Like, so that's what that
thinking about.
Exactly. So that resonated 40 years ago when that movie came out, when Sophie's Choice came out.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine putting it in a horror setting. It would feel manipulative in a way that I don't think you can recover from, right, where you can still have those ideas by having her be a pregnant character.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. I like that.
I do think it's still one of the weaker aspects of the film, to be clear.
Right. And the big thing is, too, I do like the creepiness that she also is not just fighting for herself because she's pregnant.
Also like, true.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, also true. So, all right, so there's one last thing we have to discuss, but I'm going to save it for our awards, which we're going to go ahead and jump into now.
Wait, can we talk about the garage scene?
So that's what I wanted to save for.
Fine.
You just want to start with that? I'm okay with starting. Yeah. Let's go ahead.
Go ahead.
I think we can go ahead and just combination that one. Sure. Best kill slash slash Ashy Slashy. the Tom Savini Award for best effect.
Savini Award, or definitely.
Yes.
The fucking Cronenberg monster.
Yes. So at the end of the film, the two characters that are able to make it out of the house, the apartment and downstairs alive, are Beth and Cassie. Mm-hmm. And in the garage, they're confronted by a monster that is made up of Ellie, Danny, and Bridget.
Yes.
And that monster is one of the most terrifying. I'm also going to go ahead and just give it that award, too, for the scared of shit moment.
That's the scariest fucking moment.
When they are in the car and you see the hands scraping on the walls, all done practically.
Wow.
Like,
is the monster practical?
I think that the last scenes of the like, once you get like a straight on look of the monster, I think that that's CGI.
Okay.
But there are a lot of scenes in that garage that are definitely practical because it's only showing glimpses that would not require a full CGI body.
Yeah.
Like the actors could like literally run their hands on the windows to give the impression that the monster is coming without you seeing the monster. It also kind of gives you that Jaws effect.
Right.
Like that scene is so upsetting.
It is so upsetting. And then like they like, you know, in a horror movie when they show something that's fucked up for no reason, when they show a wood chipper in the garage, you're like, okay,
oh no,
that's gonna happen. Like
this is gonna matter somehow.
Yeah, exactly. So and then I was like, yeah, there was a point in the movie where I was just like, what, they're gonna keep going, they're just gonna keep getting more and more violent, and like they're not gonna stop. I was like, this is fucking awesome. Okay.
Yeah, no, just
go for the awards, AJ, take me away.
Like just like some of that stuff, it's just so crazy gory.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that the Savini Award has to go to that scene because at the end of the day, like there are very few scenes that I think are going to stick with me long after this movie, or even long after like this year in horror, and that is like such an upsetting moment for all of the reasons we've already discussed. It's such an upsetting visual. Oh boy. And again, this is now the monster is the mom and the siblings trying to kill the last remaining child.
It's brutal.
And then the reason why it also is best kill is the wood chipper. Well, that was a fucked up scene.
That is a fucked up scene.
All right.
Cool scene, love it though, but...
Yeah, no, I can't wait to get that movie on 4K and just run that shit back over and over again. All right,
what's next?
We already talked about the Marion Crane Gone Too Soon Award. That's going to go to our kids, Gabriel and Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
Those kids did not deserve to go out like that.
No.
Little
baby kids, right?
Yeah.
I think it was Scott and Jake, right? Or was it Gabriel?
Yeah, so the kids are Scott and Jake. Those are the two that they did not have to die as horribly as they did. I would have been okay if they had decided to try to have them stay with the family and survive. That would have been more interesting,
right,
in my opinion. But, oh boy, that was a rough one.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
All right, what's up?
So next one would be the Steve Hadley biggest regret.
Beth.
I'm gonna go. Who? Beth?
Beth going to her sister's. Like,
I mean, yeah, that's hard to disagree on that one.
Oh, but you know the big one. Go for it. I'll let you do it.
I was gonna say Mark Mitchinson, who plays Mr. Fonda, the man with the shotgun and the cat. He definitely did not expect his day to get so fucked up.
Right, but I want to say maybe he deserves the overconfidence.
You know what? I will give you that. I will give you that one. Then maybe.
You know who deserves it? I'll interrupt you here. You know who deserves it is the kid that's played the records.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
He basically killed his whole family,
and he has to live with that moment for at least a couple moments when he realizes he's the reason.
Yeah. That one's the biggest regret, I think.
Yep. All right. The Norman Bates moment.
Oh, definitely the mommies with the maggots now.
Mommies with the maggots now.
Yeah.
Like, the minute it's said, it is so much worse in the context of the movie than it was in the trailer.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
You've already been, like, through the absolute ringer at that point. It is so upsetting.
Yes.
But my God, like what a moment indeed.
Yes. All right, what do we have next?
All right, the next one up is going to be the icon check-in. So this is going to be a story from the South by Southwest premiere where they were heckled because somebody yelled, "This movie fucking sucks."
Wow.
And so the icon check-in is Bruce Campbell, who got the security to throw him out of the theater during the Q&A and said, "Why the fuck are you here then?"
I love that. So wait, it was during the Q&A
during the Q&A with the cast, with Sam Raimi, with Bruce Campbell, somebody started yelling at them about how bad the movie was.
What the fuck?
People are so dumb.
Why would you? It's not like I don't know. I can see like in a theater you saying that if you're like, I don't know, drunk or something.
But I like assume in front of the person director? Was drunk.
Sure,
the person was wasted.
Yeah. But in front of the director, in front of the writer, in front of the fucking cast, like in the producers, what a dick. Wow.
Yeah.
The balls on that guy, though. I think that's a hero. Like, I guess. Like, Jesus. Anyways.
All right.
I'm just sitting in my room shitting on people. I'm not doing it to their face. Anyways, continue.
All right. And then, so the last one I was going to say is the Mandy Award.
Yeah.
What makes this one so difficult is that the whole cast are unknowns.
Yeah.
There's not really like a known entity among them all.
What about Lee Cronin? What's his deal? I don't know anything about him.
So Lee Cronin is definitely like, he definitely won the movie.
Yeah.
He directed a movie 2 years ago called Hole in the Ground, where a child pushed his family into a hole in the ground. Very, very literal.
Yeah.
That film got some acclaim. I never actually ended up seeing it, but I knew, but it was like a Sundance Film Festival sensation. It was one of those things that's like a bunch of people liked it. They enjoyed it, and they kind of were like, this is like a pretty good or like mediocre film, and it just didn't break through.
Yeah.
It got a 63 on Metacritic.
Okay.
A bunch of critics reviewed it. So, I mean, it definitely had its audience, but it was a small movie. I would not have expected him to then direct this, if I'm being honest.
Sure. Right.
So, clearly, it was at least at bare minimum the film that opened the door for him to get Evil Dead Rise. My question is, after you've successfully made $100+ million horror movie, what do you do from here? Do you come back to horror? Do you come back to this franchise? Because this is the first time, I think, legitimately, that you can say that there's an Evil Dead movie that is a full stop, critical, and box office sensation.
You're right.
I believe they're gonna
want him to, but I don't know. Do you think he will?
It's a great question, right? It really is a question of, are they planning to make more of these or not? Because, based off of what I'm looking at, it is by far the highest grossing movie in the franchise.
Yeah.
The 2013 Evil Dead made $100 million worldwide, but only made $54 million in America.
Mm.
So that's great. Like, that's definitely really good. And there's no harm in saying that they should have made a sequel to that one, because they frankly should have.
Sure.
But this version made more domestic than that movie made in its entire run.
Wow.
Like it's, we're well over the number at this point. So I don't know. I think that we could be seeing more of these in the pipeline, and I'm curious if they'll try to bring him back.
Yeah, I don't know what else he wants to do. I don't know anything really about him. I mean, Hole in the Ground seems like kind of like slower, right?
Yes, it's a very much like a slow burn, like horror. The other interesting thing is that this is the first one to actually perform overseas.
Mm.
So traditionally, the Evil Dead movies have made a lot of money in America and nowhere else.
That's, I mean,
part of that is because Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn, was literally a banned movie in the UK.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the original and Dead by Dawn 2 were considered what they're called video nasties, where in the 80s, they were not allowed to play certain movies that essentially would have gotten an X rating in America. They were not allowed to play in the UK at all. Wow. So you had movies like Driller Killer and Evil Dead on that list. And yeah, it was a whole big thing. And over the years, the bans have been lifted on these movies,
right,
and are now available for people to watch. But so this is the first time that one of them's actually done well internationally. And part of that's in the UK. I think that it's a very American story, like to get lost in the woods and then get attacked by a demon. Like, there's not, I mean, there are definitely places where this could happen, but it, it does feel uniquely American. It's also playing in screwball comedy, which was a very American
thing.
Genre. Like, there's a lot about it where this film is also coming at a time where globalization is different, where there's more access to send a movie out to more places.
Right.
I also think that you can argue that the 2013 movie opened the door to people starting to experience the franchise internationally.
Sure. But even movies like Satan's Slave in an international audience, right?
Right, exactly. So
like allowing access for people into the horror genre. Korea, right?
Yes. So I think that ultimately just having, I mean, like I'm looking at the first Evil Dead movie, or the 2013 one, it did okay in like Germany and the UK. It made like a few million dollars each in those countries, but never made more than $10 million in any single country. Versus Evil Dead Rise, meanwhile, is doing similar, but it's just opening in more territories and it's opening higher. It's got a higher gross in the UK than it did last time. It got a higher gross in France than it did last time. So it just went up a little bit in a bunch of countries and opened in more countries.
Interesting.
So, yep.
Cool, cool.
I mean, I think, I think that there's also the last thing I was going to say is that that's also the difference with it being a WB film versus being a Lionsgate or a...
Or the Access.
Yeah.
We didn't give the award, though.
Oh, we didn't give the award. All right. So, I mean... Well, Ryan, way to call me out on that. I'm going to go ahead and say Lee Cronin.
Okay. Yeah. I think so too.
I think it just opens the door for him to do whatever he wants moving forward.
Right.
And this might be his peak. If he's come in and made one great Evil Dead movie, then awesome.
Yeah.
And I mean, frankly, Evil Dead 2013 is still Fede Alvarez's best movie.
Sure.
I don't like his movies very much. So.
Sure. All right. What about the Corey Award? Who gets the Corey Award?
Ooh, the Corey Award.
I'm trying to think if there's a character that I'm like,
Yeah.
He's a religious guy, but like he's still not a bad guy. I don't hate him.
I say, what if it went to Caleb, the boyfriend with the drone?
Oh yeah, no, Caleb is.
He's just kind of a dick, flying his little drone around, and hitting people out of it.
He's actually the worst. Like he's the only one I'm like, yeah, he should die. Like, so okay, yeah, Caleb gets the Corey Award.
All right. A couple of last things that I totally forgot to bring up when we were talking about it.
Sure.
Eating the glass with the glass pushing through the skin.
Oh,
that was gross. The
swallow. Yeah.
That was gross. Swallow. Yeah.
That was a fucked up scene. Yeah. Woo.
Woof. And then I would also like to shout out the elevator down scene.
Yeah. Where it falls.
It's just The Shining.
Yeah.
It's The Shining scene.
With the blood. Yes. Yeah, it's such a callback.
It fills up with blood. They shoot the ceiling to make it fall. When it lands, they spill out.
Yeah. Like that was such a great callback. Yeah. That is another portion that was very Evil Dead, right? Mm-hmm. Evil Dead was all about callbacks.
Yep.
So that was such a good callback. I loved that.
So, yeah. I mean, do you have a rating on this one? We didn't rate Terrifier, but that's okay. Yeah. I feel like our views on Terrifier were pretty straightforward. Yeah. But how would you rate this one on a scale of 1 to 10?
1 to 10? You know what? Let's see. I'm going to give it an 8. I think it's a solid 8 movie.
I'm also giving it an 8.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it wasn't perfect. I don't think it's for everyone. I think that it's a solid 8, right?
Yep. It's a solid 8 for now. I definitely, at the end of the year, reserve the right to bump that thing up to a 9 or bump it down to a 7, depending on how rewatches go.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and see what comes out this year. Last year was fucking crazy in horror.
I mean, we've had a very good year so far in horror. I'm curious to see if stuff like Boogeyman, Talk to Me.
Right.
The
Dracula movie?
It's the Last Voyage of the Denver.
Yes.
Like, there's enough horror still on the horizon this year that it's possible that we find a movie that's better than Evil Dead.
Yeah.
It's also possible that Evil Dead is the peak of the horror year.
Yeah.
Especially when you look back at last year, how Black Phone came out in like July and ended up winning a bunch of awards, but you still had like Pearl and X were still considered some of the best horror movies of the year. Nope was considered one of the best horror movies of the year by this time.
Yeah.
So
when's Maxine coming out?
Maxine is a good call. I believe it's coming out either late this year, like October, or it may come out next year, but I think it's coming out this year.
Okay. It makes me sad. I want to see that movie so bad. All right. Yeah. Is there any other awards we missed out?
Not that I can think of. I think we got everything. So with that being said, Ryan, where can they find you?
You can find me at KeepItSpooky09 on Twitter.
Yeah. And you can find me at The Alan French on Letterboxd. As I noted last episode, I am off of Twitter. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go ahead and hit me up in other locations, Letterboxd is one place. You can also hit up my Substack, where I am also going to be posting these episodes. So if you want our episodes delivered straight to your email, hit me up at The Alan French on Substack. You could also reach out to us at Sunshine State Cineplex or at alan.french at sunshinestatecineplex.com the email account.
Yeah, anything coming out on your website, Age, with the Sunset Cineplex? How's it going?
It's going very well. We definitely appreciate the support this year. We are already like significantly larger than last year. So
congratulations.
Everybody checking out the website. It's been awesome. We've had a great year. We've had The Last of Us. We've had Succession. Mm-hmm. We've had all these great movies. We had South by Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be covering Tribeca in June. So definitely a lot more to come.
Awesome. All right, y'all. As always, keep it spooky.
Peace out, guys.